What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the... What was that? Heck are you?
Very well, Terry, very well. And how the hell are you?
I too am well.
Great to hear it. Not good to hear it.
Ooh.
Great to hear it, Terry.
Well, you're really screwing up our branding there, my friend.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm just trying something.
Well, stop trying.
Okay.
Happy Sunday.
Yes, nice. And to you, Terry.
How have you been?
I've been well. Look, I'm going to get straight into it. Yeah, it's late. Here's how this podcast is going to go, just from the outset. It's going to be like your normal pod up for about the first half an hour. And then when we get into the Simpsons chat, it's going to get a little bit loopy.
Yeah,
or at least
I am. I'm feeling loopy already, to be
honest.
Okay,
great. Well, let me get straight into it because... I'm grieving, Terry.
Grieving on a jet plane.
I don't know when I'll be back.
Okay. Grieving.
Okay, we'll just wait till he finishes, folks. Listen, I've been playing Red Dead, as you know.
Yes.
And now, spoiler alert, if you haven't played Red Dead Redemption 2,
give them a break.
Talking
here
a bit about the ending. So,
give
2 minutes.
A break. Okay, we're into it.
Okay. So I got to the scene with Dutch and Micah and Arthur and...
Which one was Micah
the
again?
The big showdown, the snivelling worm. Dutch's right-hand man. Like a moustache, long, blondish hair.
Ah, yes.
Hat.
Yeah.
And Arthur, I mean... Anyway, me this and this
up,
horse...
Papa Legba. This is a Native American...
Me and the horse, Papa Legba was the name of the horse, right? And
did you name the horse? I can't remember it.
You can name them. Papa Legba, and he was the best damn horse that I've ever had in the game. I've gone through a few horses, and I tell you, he was my favourite by far, and I kept commenting to Kerry when I was playing it, I'm like, this fucking beast of a horse, I love this horse. Kept saying, oh, this fucking horse, this is the best horse, and he's not, my horse before him would cower away from a gunfight, he'd go flying off, be shaking his head every 2 seconds when you're riding him, and...
Anyway,
Papa Legba, yeah, bad horse, Papa Legba, great horse. Anyway, gets to the scene where he gets blown up, or I don't even know what happened so fast. But anyway, he's dying. He's lying there dying, and they're in the middle of a gunfight. And John is saying to Arthur, "He's like, come on!" And Arthur's like, "Just a minute." And the way he leans in, first of all, I'm already like, I don't believe this is happening. And then he leans in, and he's like, "Thank you," as the horse breathes his last breath. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, it was proper. Like that impacted me more than any scene in a movie or a...
Any Pixar movie, shall we say.
In anything that I've looked at on my TV. Because the fact that only a few days before, Arthur was to the rest of him, he's telling everyone, go on, get on out of here, take this money and go on, because he knows Dutch is losing it. And then they're all like, oh, thank you, Arthur. He's like, nah, don't start that, just get on out of here. Like, he didn't want anything to do. So even a thank you from him was huge. And I tell you, the whole next day, it was all I was thinking about in work. How sad is this? I was too into the game. The game was my escape from this shit. And now they're bringing the shit into the game. My horse is dead. I'm playing as John. I never played Red Dead 1. It means nothing to me.
Have you finished the thing with John yet?
No, I'm just starting it, really.
Okay.
So anyway, I had to just get all that out there. Have you played it? Have you got to that far?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I beat it. So you still got a bit... Whatever.
Did you not find that to be a gut-wrenching scene?
I did. That was the bit where you're like, oh, you know, like, it's a Mike Tyson kidney punch, let me tell you.
All right, don't oversell it.
Great game. I wish they would do a remaster of the first one, because that's a great game. Here's what I want them to do. Maybe not even... don't do another GTA. Do me a post-apocalyptic Rockstar game. How about that?
Yeah, like mix the Last of Us style.
Yeah, but like...
We're talking open,
zombies.
Open world. Yeah. Didn't they have... Because I played a bit of Red Dead 1. Wasn't there
a zombie
version?
Zombie mode or something. But like, yeah. I mean, like post... now times. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
they really have. And I thought nothing would surpass The Last of Us 1 as my favorite game ever, but Red Dead 2 is so deep in, so like, you could literally just stop anywhere if you see a character and just follow them around, and they would just do a full day's work and, like, you know, normal stuff. You know what I mean? It's so intricate.
Like, what I love about it is, like, I'm just gonna go do some stuff in the swamp, try catch a gator, or like go up to the snowy mountains and kill a bear. Like, and that's just like, all the side quests and all are just entertaining. As enjoyable.
So, big fan anyway. I know I'm late to the party. It was released a few years ago, but I'm just coming to terms with what just happened, and I had to get it out on the pod.
It's so, okay. It's all right.
Thank you for listening, Terry, and everyone else.
No,
what have you been up to, though, Terry?
I tell you what, I did something. Saturday? What's today? Sunday. I did something. I found an external hard drive that I hadn't used in a while. Like, treasure.
Full of porn?
Treasure. Well, yeah, but that's not what I was using it for. I found all my old music.
Oh.
So this was a treat. I felt, because I've been trying to buy...
Okay, go on. I was gonna say, don't you have it all at your fingertips anyway?
No, I don't. That's the thing. I've been Spotify? Trying... No, not everything.
Huh.
So I've been... if you let me finish my...
I'm sorry.
I've been trying to find the Inside Llewyn Davis vinyl everywhere. You can't get it. You can't get it on Spotify. There's 3 songs on Spotify. You can't get the whole album. And lo and behold, I had torrented it years ago. And
you heard now, it here first, folks.
Now I have it. And my God. Oh, my. No, I had asked Faye to see if she could source me a copy of it, because... the vinyl, I think it's out of print, but I'm sure you could get it somewhere for my birthday coming up this month, next month, sorry, in February.
Hashtag 222.
Yes, that is a hashtag, apparently. so, but I was just listening to it and I was like, oh, great. And then I found all these other old soundtracks that you can't get in full. And I was like, oh, there's Rushmore and the Royal Tenenbaums and Big Lebowski. They're all here. Yeah. Great. So
well, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for the fact that you're going down the route of Blu-rays and torrented MP3s.
I'm back, baby.
Back to 2002.
Well, I tell you, I feel like I found... the old me in this hard drive.
Nice.
For, you know, so I'm like feeling it. Like a phoenix rising from Arizona.
It was only in my later years that I got that joke inside.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Here,
I ordered a chipper only last night, right?
Right, go on.
Now, sorry to cut across you, but...
No, I was finished with that room. Particular.
I blame myself, because
I blame you too.
Thank you. Because I keep ordering from there and they keep fucking up my order. Now, like,
is there, like, what are they on? Just Eat?
Yeah, they're on Just Eat. And I'll name drop them as well.
Give them a bad review.
On Google, I did.
No, on Just Eat though, you gotta give them a bad review.
I'll do that too. Yeah, I'll do that too.
Like, so give them a bad rating and give them a bad review.
They always forget the garlic
dip. Don't tell them that we run a podcast, because they might do it back to us.
I hope it gets back to us, to be honest.
No, they might give us a bad rating and review.
All right. Okay, well.
So do it as Kerry.
From my address. But, and they keep forgetting. So they forgot it again, the garlic dip, the most important part of the takeaway. And so 4 times in a row. And I keep saying to Kerry when we're ordering, why do we keep ordering from them? Why do we keep ordering from them?
Is it good, at least?
Mm-hmm. It's okay, but it's kind of like the only one, not the only one in our club, but it's one of the few that are on Just Eat. And so anyway, I called back, gave out, and then... And the thing is, they never give you like a freebie as an apology, which is a sign of at least a half-decent chipper.
Hell yeah.
And so this is the fourth time, and I had to tell them on the phone, this has happened the last 4 times. It's really frustrating. And then so, and it's always when this dub driver is
fucking rubbing your garlic
fucking dubs. And so, first of all, he came back again. I don't know why, the story's not interesting to anyone but me. But he came back again. He had the wrong dip, the wrong size dip. He had the small ones. And he has one can of Coke. And he just goes, as soon as I open the door, he's like, free can. As in, like, now, who's a lucky boy? Like, of full fat coke. Like, hey, like, before I change my mind, here's a free can. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Smashed it off his head.
It's your free can. And the wrong dip. Anyway, it drives me mental. It drives me so mad when, and I feel like I'm turning into my old man, that when businesses, like, that when I have to fight to give you my business, like, I should have gone a long time ago.
You got to go somewhere else, Andy. You got to do it. You got to do it.
This has turned into a real rant podcast already by me. But that's all I've had going on with me anyway. I wanted to get that off my chest as well, because it's driving me mental when something wrecks on my dinner.
Cool.
What about you? What have you been doing?
You know what? I've been working from home, and I was working at home on Friday. And you know what? On Friday, I watched 3 movies.
Jesus Christ.
I watched a movie Friday afternoon when I was working from home.
Little
movie
I'm sure
called...
I'm sure your management would be very interested to know.
Hey, man, I'm still... It's on in the background. So I'm chomping away here. And
turning out those numbers.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Those numbers getting crunched. Big time. So... I watched Sunshine. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
Danny Boyle.
Just once
space
I'd like you
movie.
To say I watched a movie and I'm like, oh, that's a brilliant movie.
Well,
no, I haven't heard of it.
Okay. You ever heard of Sunshine?
No.
Cillian Murphy, Chris, no. I tell you, has a stellar Chris Evans performance before he was in the MCU.
Oh, well.
There's loads of other people in it.
Okay.
But
good.
It's good. It's like the sun is dying, right?
Okay.
So there was a spaceship.
I hate it already.
There was a spaceship sent to put a bomb into the sun to reignite it.
The actual sun in the
sky. Yeah, the sun in the sky.
I thought you were like, well, the sun is dying. I'm like, oh, great movie.
No, like the actual sun is dying. So a spaceship called Icarus was sent to reignite the sun. Like they have like a bomb that they're going to throw in to reignite it. That went 7 years ago and never came back. They never heard anything from. So the crew of the Icarus 2 are on their way to try and do it again. And basically, they said they used up all their resources for this last bomb. So if this one doesn't work, we're all dead.
Right.
And then lots of stuff happens as they try. And well, I can't... You'll give away, but
yeah,
it's fucking
good.
Good. Yeah, good. I liked it.
Okay.
Cillian Murphy,
is that on?
Good.
Is that on anything?
It is a Blu-ray. That I bought.
Okay, well, if I come across it...
Another Blu-ray I bought was...
Go on.
Blood Simple. The Coen Brothers' first movie.
Oh, God! Good?
It was great, yeah, it's great. It's this sleazy kind of thing where it's like... the guy from, let me see, you know who Dan Hedaya is?
Absolutely not.
Google him there quickly and you'll see.
Hang on.
Hang on.
Dan Hedaya.
Hedaya, H-E-D-A-Y-A. You'll know his face. He's in loads.
H-E-D-A.
H-E-D.
Yeah, I see. That comes up. Yeah, it comes up.
You know his face. You know that guy, right?
Yeah, what was he in? What
he's
do
in
I know?
Everything.
From?
He's in everything. Like, he's in Cheers.
He's fucking
like,
hilarious as well.
Yeah, he is. So
he's the dad in Clueless. That's who he is.
That's what he is. Yeah, he's the dad in Clueless. Yeah. So he plays the owner of this bar who's married to Frances McDormand. Who, and I know you know who she is. She's
the woman
from Fargo.
Oh, yeah. I like her, yeah.
She ended up getting married to one of the Coens. This is her first film ever.
And did she get married to them off the back of this?
Well, I assume so. Like they met them on set. It was their first film. But she, basically, it's like he hires a private investigator to find out she's having an affair with one of the men that works for him in the bar. And then there's a whole like bunch of misunderstanding and there's a few debts. And it's a real sleazy, pulpy noir. It's good. Very good.
Sounds like it. What was the title again?
Blood Simple.
Yeah.
Made in 1984. I didn't realise they started so early. Those
Coens. 84?
Yeah. First Coen movie. 84.
Oh, I was thinking of the one from the series Fargo. I was like, she was around in 84?
No, the movie Fargo.
Yeah, I now know what you meant.
Yeah.
Okay, I got two more. I got two
more. You said you watched three movies.
I watched three on Friday and I watched one this afternoon.
You got a problem.
I know, I need more movies.
So it eats movies like stars, yes.
Yes, we'll come back to that later. Three is a movie called Back Arrow.
What?
Back Arrow.
Back Arrow.
Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a Brazilian movie, Andy.
Oh, come on.
But I tell you, you'll like it. The guy from Ace Ventura, is it Hap who hosts the party, you know?
Who hosts the party?
In Ace Ventura, you know, Mr. Ventura. You know, the guy, with, and he's like walking with the cane. The silver hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's in it.
He is great, actually.
Udo Kier is his name.
Jesus, yeah. Though. Yeah. Come on, though. This one.
This one is great.
Tell me that you liked the movie. Tell me that you watched a movie and that recently that wasn't, that you didn't like.
No, I didn't. Because I pick ones that I think are good.
And you're usually correct.
Yeah, well, I'll go off, you know, recommended critics lists. So. This one is about a Brazilian town that all of a sudden they like looking on, it's modern day one, but it's like there's a teacher showing kids in the town that like, oh, I'll show you where Bacaro is compared to Sao Paulo. And it doesn't appear on the Google Maps or anything like that.
Right.
And they're like, that's weird. We're here, but we're not on the satellite view. And then all the cell phone reception in the village goes. And then the real crux of it is a bunch of Americans have paid the mayor. They're staying outside the town. They've paid the mayor. They want to come and hunt these people. Oh. So like it's a real poor Brazilian town, and then Americans are, and the people who play the Americans, it's great. They're just the fucking worst. Like they're like awful. Like, but it's great.
Like extreme.
No, it's just sort of it's like there's a point where it's like two Brazilian people who have been helping like Hap and the other Americans hunt the people. Hap. It's like, whatever his name, Udo
Hap,
Kier.
Hap, blah, blah.
Yeah, Udo Kier, right, is the guy. Hello, Ace.
Let's just call him Hap.
Yeah, Hap. So, but like there's two Brazilians and they're trying to explain to the Americans. They're like, oh, you're from that village with them. It's like, oh no, we come from a much nicer town down south. Like, we're richer. We're kind of like you. And they're like, you're not like us. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, we're the same, like, social status. And it's like, no, like, how can you be like us? Like, we're white. You're not white. Like, and I'm like,
bunch of racists, is it?
Bunch of Yanks.
Bunch of Yankee Doodle Dandies.
So, very good. I enjoyed it thoroughly. There's a lot going on in it. Like,
very nice. I wasn't implying that all Americans are racist there. I'm just going to clarify for the outset, just in case.
No, it's a certain class of American that they're doing, like, but it was very fun, I have to say. Very good.
Okay, well, you know what, one maybe I'll get a lend of it off you someday.
No, I got that. I watched that through a streaming service, Mubi. So if any of the art house goons like myself and you pay for Mubi, I think they're doing a deal now, $1 a month.
That's
for the first
good.
3 months or the first 6 months of the year.
How was that slasher streaming service that you were going to report back?
Shudder
on? Yeah.
It was good. There wasn't enough there to keep me hooked for past my 3 month, to be honest.
Okay.
But I'm sure that might keep you hooked.
So not good.
No, it was good because I watched a couple of movies. The movies I wanted to watch were good, and then I like, you know, but I'm not too much of a
independent horrors.
Not even that. Like you seem like you would watch. Oh, that sounds like a good horror movie. You would watch that. Whereas me, I'm like, what am I? You know, I only get one shot at this. I got like 2 hours to watch a movie.
Are you saying that you're more highbrow than me? Is that
100%? 100%.
Okay, just wanted to clarify that. Okay.
So, last film I watched.
Go on then.
Watched it this afternoon. It's called One Night in Miami. It's streaming on Amazon Prime, right?
Okay.
And it is set the night after Cassius Clay wins the world heavyweight title for the first time. He beats Sonny Liston.
Yeah.
So he's not Muhammad Ali yet. Right?
Okay.
And it basically is set after that, and it's Cassius Clay, Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, and Joe, who's the American footballer? Why am I blanking on his name? No. Fuck.
American footballer Joe something.
not Joe Lewis.
Ray Lewis?
No. Oh, God.
Joe Montana?
No.
Joe Montana?
No.
Not important, probably.
Oh, God. Why am I blanking on this?
Doesn't matter. This is like talking
Jim
to
Brown,
my,
not
this
Joe.
Like talking to my
Jim,
mom.
Jim Brown. Jim okay. Brown. Right. So the four of them, because they're basically like, this is apparently a real thing that happened, but it's like four of the most affluent, well, three of the most affluent celebrities.
Right.
Like, and then Malcolm X. And it's basically set in the hotel room of the four of them kind of having... Cassius Clay hasn't told anyone that he's going to become a Nation of Islam. Like, Malcolm X is basically worried that he is being followed by the feds or he's going to be killed. Jim Brown is kind of thinking about moving from American football into acting. And Sam Cooke is basically like... Sam Cooke and Malcolm X keep getting into it because they talk about like how Sam Cooke plays up to the white people.
Is this like a reimagining or something?
This is apparently like what happened, but like it's really, yeah, I guess reimagining is the best way to put it, like, but it's really interesting. Like, and it's just four people talking is the majority of it, but like when they get into their fucking arguments, like there's a point where like Sam Cooke is like, him and Malcolm X seem to have the most friction all the time, and like Sam Cooke is giving out to Malcolm X, like, okay, hold on, I got just the thing for you. And like he puts on like Blown in the Wind by Bob Dylan. And he's like, you don't write songs like that. You know, you write songs like I Love You, I Love You, I Love You, whatever. Like he's like literally in the first line of that song, like, how many roads must a man walk down before you can call him a man? He's singing about oppressed people. A white guy from Minnesota, white boy from Minnesota singing about oppressed people. And you've never done anything like that, and it sells way more than any of the stuff.
Mm.
You like loads of like meaty, stuff,
meaty dialogue, like.
And the guy who plays Ali is like,
that sounds like the best one of the bunch. To be honest, I'm going to disregard the first three.
This one is.
You could ask me for a million, offer me $1 million to name those three movies before I wouldn't get it.
They've gone out your head.
Yeah, 100%. We couldn't name one. Except Blood...
Simple.
Blood Simple.
Sunshine. It's a one word title.
The one on Amazon that I have access to, I may check out.
It's very good. The guy who plays...
talking to me here.
Cassius Clay in it is really, like... I know you love Will Smith, and like I'm not a huge fan of Ali, the movie, but like this guy, he's like playing the 22-year-old Cassius Clay, and you're like... fucking hell, like, he's unreal.
Better than Big Will?
Yeah. Big Will was too skinny as Ali. Like, this guy is fucking proper. Ripped. It's not even, you know the way, he's just like bigger, broader. Like, you know, Will Smith, I thought, was far too lean. Even when he like bulked up, he's too tall and rangy, like, you know.
Isn't it a shame he never won an Oscar? And he never will now.
It's not a shame. It's not.
He should have won it for Eternal Sun, or not Eternal Sunshine, The Pursuit of Happiness.
No, he shouldn't have.
Who won it that year?
Okay, hold on, let me see.
Beat Will Smith for the Oscar?
Are you asking Siri?
No, I'm just putting it in Google ready form for you there.
Philip Seymour Hoffman for Capote. And I will tell you right now,
I think Will Smith still should have got it. I've seen Capote.
Oh no, maybe it's the next year. Excuse me.
Oh
dear. 2006.
I'm actually embarrassed because I'm the one who thought you were the movie buff here.
Well, I googled the year it came out.
Embarrassing.
2006. Forrest Whitaker for 2007.
Come on.
For Last King of Scotland. So, you know.
Snoozers.
What's that?
Snoozers, I said.
I mean, it's a good performance.
I haven't seen it, to be fair.
Yeah. I did.
All right. Yeah. Cards on the table, I haven't seen it.
Funny that, huh? So it was, it was Will Smith, Pursuit of Happiness, Peter O'Toole, Ryan Gosling, and DiCaprio and Forest Whitaker.
Okay.
So, you know, Will Smith is a...
DiCaprio, missing out again.
For Blood Diamond. That World Cup is my ticket out of here.
Oh, yeah. That was a good movie.
Yeah, he wasn't great. Shall we
I was gonna just ask you just very briefly how you're coping with the whole lockdown situation, but to be honest,
I'm watching a lot of movies. To me.
Yeah, it seems like you're coping just fine.
Yeah, watching a lot of movies and drinking.
Can I talk to you about The Simpsons, pray tell, Terry?
Sure. You know what? I'm trying to work out as well. That's what I'm trying to do. Keep the old mind fresh.
That's another thing. I haven't worked out. Well, I worked out on New Year's Day, and I worked out 2 days after with my new kettlebell.
Yep.
I really need to get back into it, because now that jiu-jitsu is not happening, because it's literally the worst thing you can do with COVID, because you're literally sweating on each other.
Spitting on each other.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Get ringworm off each other.
Yeah, I know. And ringworm is a negative. I wish ringworm was called something else, so whenever I have it, everyone doesn't give you the same reaction of like, ew.
You have ringworm?
Just the name worm. Like.
Yeah.
But, I'm really feeling it in the head. I feel like I need a release of energy. I'm getting a little backed up.
Yeah.
My stomach, my belly has never been bigger in my life.
What inches are you in your pant?
I'm normally a 34.
Okay.
With a 30 leg. I feel like I've got very short legs.
I've got a short leg as well.
But this is what it's like, a long
torso leg.
Yeah, same. Every time I look in a mirror.
Can you fit into the 34 now?
Yeah, I can fit, but like I used to need a belt for them. I don't anymore. But it's more seeing myself in a t-shirt. You know what it was? We were in work on Friday, and we were doing like, it was like a tropical bingo thing over Zoom. And I realized, so I just wore a t-shirt, but I just sort of grabbed it and I forgot how short it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, we were lifting tables and stuff like that. And like, I realized I was one of those guys who you see with his big fat belly hanging out under his t-shirt.
His chicken skin.
Oh, and I was like, you've become that guy. So I really need to work out myself, to be honest. So.
Yeah. Look, I'm working on getting my times down in terms of my running.
Nice.
I'm not nearly where I want to be honest. Like, but I've broken out the old running playlist again. Which I used to just like have on like podcasts and stuff. But I'm like, you know what? If I want to get my time going,
I have a song for you to stick on that playlist.
Give me some, yeah.
Do Me a Favor by the Arctic Monkeys. It's a fucking, and it's got that like.
I'll listen to it.
You'll like it. It was on. I actually discovered it, even though I'm big into the Arctic Monkeys. I discovered it from another running playlist. So obviously the folks at Spotify feel the same way. Very good. Oh, and another one for you. Fort Knox by Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. It's just instrumental, but it's banging. Running song. It's like an alarm going in the background. It'll really get you moving.
I think we're on different wavelengths. In terms of like
what are you after?
Because my run playlist is
Don't go through the whole list.
With the best one, though, like
all these things that I've done.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but that's so slow to start. How can you run when he's like one more song?
You're jogging at that point, and then it's like
if you can't hold. That's not a jogging song. Like, it's only good for the last minute.
If you can't hold on, it's like when it's just there. It's little ding.
Do me a favor. Like, it's gonna blow your mind.
I got a bit of Future Heads on. I've only got like 7 songs on it. Hounds of Love by the Future Heads.
Come on.
It's not like I get a jolt when I hear that. Da-da-ling.
Tell you what.
First Date by Blink-182. Over and Done With by The Proclaimers.
Sorry. Okay, hang on. I've got
Divine Comedy, Q Jumper. Low Hanging Fruit by Tenacious D.
Oh, I've got so much for you. Yeah, that's good. That'll be a good one.
Because it's like...
Yeah, I've got my own playlist here. Run to Point B. That's the name of my playlist, because my first playlist was called Run and this one was Run 2, but you see it's clever because then I have a full stop and a B, so it's like Run 2 point. Anyway, Bleed American number 1. So
I'm searching for your thing. I'm not seeing it.
It's there. You got fucking Fort Knox, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, The Song Remains the Same. That's a good running one. Fucking yeah, do me a favor. I don't know if this is interesting to anyone else.
Give me a song I might know, like
"Fucking in the Bushes" by Oasis. That's another great one as well.
Don't know it
for running. Another instrumental, two bangers. Don't know anyway. It. At the risk of boring the listener, can I please talk to us about
everyone,
this?
Andy, you're boring everyone.
What is it with you and boring people? Yeah. I want to talk about The Simpsons 17th, episode 17 of the 7th season. Homer the Smithers, airing on February 25th, 1996, nearly 25 years ago to the month. Written by John Swartzwelder and directed by Stephen Dean Moore. The plot came from another writer on the show, Mike Scully, and... It features cultural references to the Little Rascals and a series of blah, 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 blah. Now, it got a Nielsen rating of...
You okay?
Yep. Still a short circuit there. Nielsen rating of 8.8 and was the fifth highest rated show on Fox that week. There's not a huge amount in the production of this, but Weinstein said that this episode was an opportunity for him, Oakley, and Swartzwelder to go nuts with the Burnsisms, and said that they really enjoy writing for characters such as Burns and Abe Simpson because of their outdatedness and because they get to use the thesaurus for looking up old-time slang.
Yeah, for, there's a lot of that. Like,
yeah, so when Burns answers the phone saying "ahoy hoy," which I didn't realize was the first time of it, and that was this suggestion by Alexander Graham Bell to be used as the proper telephone
instead of
answer.
A hello. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And Burns's kitchen is full of crazy old-time devices and contraptions. And all that sort of stuff. So that sounds like a fun thing. Matt Groening has noted the challenges of sound mixing. What does he know with this episode? The results of which influence future episodes of the show and Groening's other series, Futurama. When the animation
Futurama.
The episode was returned, the production staff found the scene of Homer fighting Smithers horrifying, as the sounds of character exertion made it too violent. After experimenting with the sound, they were eventually able to make the scene humorous by only leaving in the sounds of the character's agony. And that's pretty much all I got there.
Do you want to get into your notes?
I want to get straight into it, Terry, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. Just getting it here. Yeah, so we start at the races, and it's just, I mean, it's a simple joke, but just your man repeating everything three times, it's just funny. Welcome. And they're talking, and he's going through
quarter
the whole
mile,
thing.
Action.
He's recovering from zircosis of the liver.
Lance, Murdoch. Yeah. It's a good joke.
So I love the fact that the whole setup is like, it's almost like just
quarter
for Burnsy,
mile.
You know?
Oh,
what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
I love Marge, like, I'm a real hot rod mama. Huh? Like, you missed the race, mama.
There's something really funny about Marge just going, huh?
I love Marge trying to belong, like, you know?
Yeah,
you know?
That is funny.
Well, I'm lame. I get, or like, or that whole thing where it's like, that's what makes me cool. Not caring if I'm cool, right, kids? Like, being cool, not caring about cool is being lame. How the hell do you be cool?
I guess I'm just a big lame. I did like the look on the driver's faces when Smithers instructs them to go slow. And like, you see, they're just looking like they've got these both. They all have these frowns,
yeah.
Just like this, like slower still.
Yeah.
And then they like
go,
release the
go.
Parachutes. Yeah. It's all just to make Mr. Burns happy,
like Smithers, the beer. Like, this isn't working at all. I don't feel any younger, right, bro? I'll switch to the tablespoon, sir. Like, Smithers is just so good-natured at the start.
Yeah, and Smithers loves it. Smithers loves looking after Mr. Burns. I mean, I know he's in love with him, but I think even for the work that it is, he just loves waiting on Mr. Burns' hand and foot and knowing what he needs. And then the whole, when he's in the car and Lenny, he's actually been really nice, but he's just so pissed. He's like,
"Hey, Burns,
thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Just
I had a great time. I just want to shake your hand."
I feel like if this lockdown continues, I'll be like Mr. Burns is in that car, but dealing with the outside world.
Well, this like I love like his like lips, his gums on the thing, and then like
screech.
Like how Smithers is just like ushering him away, and then like the big thumbs up.
Ah.
The fact that it's Lenny as well is such a great choice.
And that became such a meme, that Lenny thumbs up meme. You see it all the time.
Yeah.
Then the next note, I got a chuckle from Smithers trying to kill himself in the water cooler. He's like, he thinks he's failed him or something. Like, was it for the car scene?
No, because he was like, he was giving out and he was like, I'll never forgive myself. Never, never. And like Burns just puts up like the partition in town car. And then he's like, to make up for yesterday, sir, I've alphabetized your breakfast. You can start with the waffles and work your way up to the Zweiback. And then he like has done something. He laminated the jumble. Or his paper, so it wouldn't get ink on his fingers. He's like, how am I supposed to do the junior jumble? And that's when he just takes the like water cooler thing off and like
just buries his head in it. Like, what if Burnsy did nothing? Like, he's just like, oh,
I love how he just like presses the thing down
to release the water.
Get a hold of yourself, man.
I did like, I never noticed before, but like Burnsy, when he's he like ushers Smithers out, I can't remember what it is, but he goes like, yeesh.
Yeah.
Like afterwards, like Jesus, he's really going nuts. And
then like the great gag with like Smithers trying to be like incompetent, you know, like in the database, and he's like, just get Homer Simpson.
Yeah. Clearly, first person on his mind.
Yeah.
I did like when Burns's mother calls and Smithers is like, he's in a very important meeting, and you just see Burns just dozing in his office. Like, what a life he has! Yeah. Like, it's just the like giant a baby, like
courtroom, like.
And when he's talking about who his replacement's going to be, he's like, Homer Simpson, sir. And then he's like, all of the recent events in your life have revolved around him in some way.
Yeah, and like I did like when it was at the dinner table where it was Lisa and Marge, and Lisa's like, you know, assisting Mr. Burns could give your career a real shot in the arm. And like Marge comes in from the kitchen. You know, homie, assisting Mr. Burns. She's like, I just said that. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
I really like a Marge in this episode.
Next time, get your own broccoli.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing of like, I love seeing like, not like studious Homer, but like Homer who actually does work. You know what I mean? Like where he has to get up at the crack of dawn. And like he's proper, like the alarm goes off, he's straight up, he's exhausted or whatever. And even Marge's like, Little Rascals isn't on till 6. I love that. Little window into his daytime routine. Gets up early to watch it. Like
Homer being like, asking Smithers as he's leaving, he's like, what do I do in case of fire? He's like, sorry, can't hear you. And then like literally he looks in and the place is on fire.
Mr. Burns just sitting there and doing nothing.
He's like, good Lord, Smithers, you look atrocious.
I did think, just the last thing as well on Homer getting up, because I did make a note of when Marge is like, poor homie, poor. Oh, see, like that's how it feels being the first one up in the house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, you know what I mean? Sometimes Kerry will hear, sometimes I'll like get up and I'll be like so tired, or if I was up late. And I'll sit at the end of the bed and be like, okay. I just get a little like rub of the back, and then like she's asleep in like two seconds. I'm like, sons of bitches.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Anyway.
Burns wants breakfast. No, lunch. He wants a single pillow of shredded wheat, some steamed toast, and a dodo egg. And then, what did he say? Rotate my office so my window faces the hills.
Yeah. Like, can you repeat the part that you said, all the stuff about the things?
The things?
My next note that I have was, I love the sound of when Burns is like selecting his teeth and it's like, I think I'll go with the fangs today. The sound of him putting the fangs in and then closing his mouth.
Like when Homer is doing the breakfast, I did like that, you know, the fire. Setting everything on fire.
Cereal, like.
Burns asking about how his stocks did. He's like, they all won. What are my options? He's like, you can either get up or go back to sleep. Like, he's talking about stock options, I assume. Like,
I love that Burns just goes with it as well. He's like, I think I'll get up.
Yeah. Did you get that report on the accounting department? Like, there's a whole, like you're just kind of running through these scenes.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's like, yes, it's located on the third floor. Its hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The head of this department is a Mr. Johnson or John Stone.
Yeah.
Like, Homer thinks he's doing great here. Like, and then the cube thing, of course.
You have 30 minutes to move your cube. I never really, like, got it as a kid, the whole Smithers vacation.
The gay thing.
Like, I mean, I get it. I've got it the last few times, obviously, since I was an adult watching it, but never even copped it as a kid, even when you're like, oh, this is this they don't allow pictures at this resort.
Yeah.
I just remember thinking, like, huh, okay, I guess some places do that, you know? What else have I got? I have the
I can't really talk.
No, when the kids are exploiting him.
Oh yeah.
And he's so exhausted.
Log alive, Simpson. I'm not paying you the gold brick.
Like, there's something about funny. It's like, it's funny as it is, but Marge gone like, stop exploiting your father, and they just both like scurry off.
Yeah.
It's like that made it extra funny. It's like, that's exactly what they're doing.
And then Homer's like, oh, sorry, Marge, I think Mr. Burns wants me to do some long divisions. Like, Simpson, lie down. Like,
I really felt it when he lied down there. Like, you know, when you're just exhausted, and you have that, like, oh,
you could sleep anywhere. Like, that's the thing. Like, you know,
several times.
I just need to close my eyes, and my body will just be like, shutting down. Recharging.
There's certain times where I'm just like, if I close my eyes for 30 seconds right now, I could be asleep.
Yeah, that's it. Like,
and I'm sure if I close my eyes
and I don't open them, if I don't will them open within the next, like, within a minute, I'm asleep. That's it. Like, I did like, as well, like, they're like, ding, da, ding, da, ding.
The bell.
Like a little tiny bell.
Such an expensive, like, setup for him to, like, instead of calling him or doing something, like, it's just
answering,
like,
the phone. Yeah. Like, 47 rings. You're okay. Yeah. But he's like, I love that. He's like, he's dragged me to distraction with his incompetent boobery. Terrible everything. A complete moron. It's like, but I'm not really free to talk right now. Like,
I love that. Terrible at everything. A complete moron.
And then it's just, it kind of goes where it's like, it's showing Homer being mistreated by Burns. Yeah. A little montage here of him, like,
getting things thrown at him.
He turns on.
What are all the things?
It's like, he turns on the light. He's like, 60 watts. You think this is a telling song? He's like, I thought I told you to use light starches. Like,
the nightcap.
You call this postum?
Yeah.
You call this a tax return? You call this a supercomputer? And then, like,
is that, like, one that he built?
Building
that supercomputer? Like, it's pretty impressive.
But then he's like, you're a travesty of a, you know, and like, Homer's like,
just punch. Like,
the punch. The, like,
big wind up. Like,
And so I love, satisfying.
Yeah.
Looking, like,
very, the sound, the fall, the everything. Twack, very, like, satisfying.
Yeah. But they do it as if, like, he's dead. Like, I was looking at that. Like,
I love
that
the music
shot
and the camera. Like,
it's like zoom out and, like, the body, like, splayed on the floor. Like,
I was like, I did laugh at, like, this is like poor Homer, but, like, even though he did just knock out like an old man, when Marge is like, everything all right? He's like,
No. He's like, except? No. It's like, except. I know, there's something wrong. He's like, no. He's like, except. Except. I killed Mr. Burns. That was the ad. I always remember this being the ad for Sky, because like, they'd done Who Shot Mr. Burns at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And then I was like, he's dead again already? Like, you know, like, what are
really
they doing?
Going to the well here.
Yeah, what are they doing? Even as an 8-year-old or whatever, like.
Biggest laugh, like, I remember from this episode was when Burnsy tries to work the stuff himself, because he's too scared to let Homer anywhere near him. So he's
calls
trying
Smithers.
He calls Moe's.
Must call Smithers. He'll protect me from this beast. I've seen people activate this machine 1,000 times. Doesn't seem to be any trick to it. Let's see, Smithers. S-M-I-T-H-E-R-S. Success! It's ringing!
Moe's Tavern.
I'm looking for a Mr. Smithers. First name, Whalen.
Oh, so you're looking for a Mr. Smithers, eh? First name, Whalen, is it?
Listen to me, you. When I catch you, I'm gonna pull out your eyes and shove them down your pants so you can watch me kick the crap out of you, okay?
Then I'm gonna use your tongue to paint my boat.
Ooh.
First name Waylon,
is it?
Yeah. Doesn't even work. Like, yeah. Actually put it together. That's the
when
one
I
that he queries.
When I catch you, I'm going to pull your pants down. I'm going to pull out your eyes and shove them down your pants so you can watch me kick the crap out of you. Then I'm going to use your tongue to paint my boat.
That's the best one. Yeah. I remember, especially as a teenager, I used to love that. Like, then I'm going to use your tongue to paint my boat.
And like, it's the first time in ages that there's been a prank call.
Yeah, I think they kind of did away with it.
This is the last one, I think, probably.
But I love the fact, like, he doesn't get the most obvious ones, and like Waylon Smithers doesn't even work it, even if you put it together, and that's the one where he's like, he finally cops it. This is some sort of prank.
I did like Homer as well, saying, Lisa's asking what happened. He's like, I punched Mr. Burns right this 100-year-old face.
I was trying to figure out what they were eating at dinner. It looked like spaghetti and bread.
Sounds good.
They always make them eat so monstrously, if I may say.
Like, yeah, I did like how he put the receiver in the drawer.
Oh, yeah.
And closed it, like.
But all the things of Burns, like, driving by himself, and, like, I love this whole rejuvenation of Burns in this episode. Like,
well, like, he slides the mirror under the door and like Homer's face just appears like, hey, Mr. Burns.
Yeah.
Do you want your coffee?
So then it kind of gets to the stage that like Burns, he realizes he doesn't need Smithers, and Smithers is like, Smithers looking for the job at Moe's where he's like.
Okay. So this is possibly my favorite gag of The Simpsons ever.
Brilliant.
Hello. You had a help wanted sign on the window?
Yeah, I need someone to help me with the midnight beer delivery. Your job is to distract Barney until it's safely off the truck.
I'll just wait out back until then.
I look forward to working with you!
Mr. Smithers, wait! You can't let yourself end up in a place like this. You've got two choices. You can give up on yourself and take the Barney guarding job like so many of us have contemplated in our darkest moments. Or you can admit to yourself there's only one person that can make you happy and do whatever it takes to get them back.
You're right. But I'm going to need your help.
Oh, my God.
Beer delivery. Just sign here. Oh, no, it's you.
Hey, oh, boy.
Give me that.
They're having the whole conversation, and it's just like the chime of the like dun dun, and then it's like beer delivery. Yeah. It's you.
There's something about that laugh. It's just like, because he's so good natured normally, but like he knows he's causing chaos here, and he doesn't care.
And then Mo, like the silent like thing of Mo, we're like. His face, and then like the Mo's two hands his over his eyes, like it's not even head, it's the over his eyes, like
it's proper just, weeping. Like.
That Mo bit is just, it gets me every time. The brilliant. Like silent animation of it, it's so good.
Mo again is bringing his A game in this, even though he's used kind of sparingly.
He's in like two scenes, like
that first name, Waylon, is hilarious, and then this, it's his reaction that makes it as well.
I did like he's like, because he gets fired.
Yeah.
Burns realizes he doesn't need Smithers anymore.
Yeah.
And then, like the fact that, like, Homer's like, you shouldn't have gone away on vacation. Like, really, like, rubbing it in.
What a jerk.
But, like, but he goes to AT&T or Neat and Tidy, Piano Movers. And it's like, ah. He's like, we're going to put a metal rod where your spine used to be.
Yeah.
Like, will I ever move a piano again? Like, oh, good Lord, no.
He's doing all these things, but then, like.
Yeah. When the Speedway thing as well was great. I mean, they're already here. Do we really have to hustle them? We got them. We're just like, where are you taking me?
There's something funny about Smithers' like strained voice.
Yeah.
Like,
oh.
And then he comes up with the plan for with Homer. Isn't that it where he's like,
yeah, so
Mr. Burns' mother. I like the fact that Mr. Burns' mother calls the power plant the atom mill.
Yeah. He's like, that improvident lackwit. Always too busy striding around his atom mill to talk to his own mother. I'll give him what for till he cries brassafras.
Great. Like, yeah. You could tell the writers did have a lot of luck. Yeah, did have a lot 100%. Of fun putting that together. But then, the whole, like, it's so obvious. It's like Father Dougal in Father Ted, where it's just like, now put her on hold. Like, there's a hold button.
Transfer.
Right there.
Like, just like, press the transfer button.
It just goes disconnect.
He's like, I'm transferring a call. And it's like, hello, Mater.
It's like, she does. Mrs. Burns doesn't call her son Mr. Burns.
This is Mrs. Burns. He's like, you are a bad son, Montel.
And then I was a big fan of the fight scene.
Yes.
Like, Smithers getting his hand stuck in Homer's belly, and Homer just starts mushing him in the face. Yeah.
But, like, the whole thing, again, like, Homer is like, he's been a bit of a dick as well, because he's like, he's like, you really blew it this time, Smithers. That's what sets him off. Like,
yeah. He's not helping.
And Burns is like popping a bag, trying to get him to stop. Like
popping the bag, and then like the little bits of trash talk where like the phone rings, like it's for you,
it's for you. And he's like, stop fighting like a girl, Simpson.
Or the best bit of the whole thing was the taking ages opening the safe combination, then it finally pops open.
Homer running at him, like
brilliant.
Yeah,
and then I just have the next note I have is Homer, or it's actually my last.
This is
note.
The end of the episode.
Yeah,
like,
it just burns out the window, so he's dead. Then, sure. Yeah. No healthy man would have even survived that.
He's like, here's Bobo, hat from the dryer. You know, like he basically, like Smithers is back. The status quo has been resolved, like Smithers. It should be on all good half-hour comedy shows.
Yeah.
You find a way to put everything back to normal that isn't too contrived.
Yeah. I liked it now, and Smithers leaves a little shopping basket.
Fruit basket.
Fruit basket.
But he's like, I've become completely self-reliant. Ant.
Well, that's it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. It's a very, like, thin episode, but some good laughs.
I was saving it now for the final thought. Can we get into our final thought?
Let's dive right in.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Can you ask me?
Yeah, I was going to say, let me ask you, Mr. Scientist. What do you think of the episode?
I didn't quite care for it, to be honest, Terry.
Right there with you, my friend.
Maybe evident that we kind of rushed through it, and we didn't actually pre-discuss it at all, but there was nothing I really wanted to stop and dwell on. There was a few big gags, like you said, even an episode that we don't like a lot contains one of your favorite gags of all time.
Yeah,
you
that's the thing. That's my big takeaway. I was like, did not really care for the episode, yet I forgot that gag that is possibly my favorite one ever.
Yeah,
which is so weird. Like,
it is. That's just The Simpsons. Like, you know, it's so they'll always give you something. Like, usually, especially around this time. But yeah, I thought it didn't really. There was no real other story. It was a very thin story. It seemed like they were kind of fleshing it out a lot, and it just didn't. It was a bit of a half idea that kind of was made into a full episode, you know. And even though, like, with Homer, Smithers, and Burnsy, like, it's not the worst sort of cast, but
There's a lot of fun to be had, but also, like, I just don't think it's a very good episode. Like,
not great.
Yeah, the story is a big thing, like, and like. Yeah. I don't know, like, they don't do enough with the setup, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because they get to the setup pretty quickly. They get to, like, Smithers going on holidays fairly quick.
Yeah. I felt like they could have done more.
And then it's just, like, the same stuff over and over again, maybe, like, you know?
Yeah.
Homer is finding it hard. Like, Burns being rough to him. And then, like, I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of forgot that he fires Smithers. You know, that was the thing, like.
Like, it's not like I felt like they could have done more. They could have done more with Smithers on vacation. They could have done more with Homer and Burnsy. They could have done more even with Homer at home being like all tired and so. I don't know, but they just could have done. I felt like they could have done a lot more with that one. But, you know, who am I to criticize a season 7 episode of The Simpsons? But it was a thin one, like you said, a thin
very
mint.
Thin. Who's your MVP?
I'm going to give it to Burnsy.
Yeah,
just because, you know, he's good in this. A close tie with Mo, though, because Mo is someone who delivers everything.
Yes.
Zero fat on his bits.
What would you rate it as?
My rating, since you asked, I'm going to give it a 7.8. Which is scathing, frankly.
I was actually going to give it an 8.2. So that's quite that kind of... give it a 7.8. We're normally about 4 or 5 apart on our scale.
Yeah.
So, you know, that seems 8.2? About right then. Yeah. I think that might be my lowest. Like, I'm not sure.
It is your... Yeah, your lowest.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Like, it's...
Interesting. It's I'm glad now that we both were on the same
because
page.
Because on paper, I was like, oh, this is a good one. And then I'm like, oh, it's not really. It's There's not some great. Good oh. laughs in it, but, like, it's just not very, like, it doesn't give you anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I know what you mean, pal.
And my MVP is Smithers.
Hey.
Just because I think he's very funny in, like... Great. The little nuances that they're doing, like that, like, I like his voice. I like Smithers' voice. I've come to realize the more we do this show that, like, and like, I just like hearing him say things. Like,
there's definitely characters that I like a lot more this time around, like Burnsy and Smithers. But like a few of those other ones, even Wickham, I didn't really appreciate, to be honest, until recently. But there's a few sort of new kids on the block, shall we say.
Yeah, like Wickham, they used like one scene wonder in this. That's a nice reckless driving, Mr. B.
Yeah, that's
like, almost runs him off over. Like.
But not a great one, but hopefully you enjoyed listening to the podcast version
the
more than
insane
we enjoyed
ramblings.
Watching it.
Shall we get our... Oh, what have we got next week, do you know?
Sure do. Well, next week, Terry, we have The Day the Violence Died.
Oh, excellent.
So
that's
that
Kirk Douglas. Who's going to come up with it?
Is it
her?
Is Kirk Douglas in it?
Kirk Douglas plays Chester J. Lampwick.
No way.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Kirk Douglas. Kirk Douglas, yeah.
Not Michael?
Nope. Huh. Michael's too young at this stage. You really gotta get that like 100-year-old voice. I think it's Kirk Douglas, yeah.
I'm gonna get our plugs in anyway.
Hit me.
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter, particularly Instagram, but on Twitter sometimes, at Put It in H Pod. You'll find a link to everything we do on our Instagram bio. You can also email us at Put It in H Podcast. I misspoke before. Damn it. Our social media is at Put It in H Podcast. I've already lost them. The email is putitinhpod@gmail.com. I'm so sorry for that.
Over on the old Patreon, you can
hit them where it hurts, their wallet.
You can get us there for the low fee of $5 a month. It gets you two of our sister podcasts, What's So Great About, and two Bono episodes that go on a wide range of topics. From
last week was our Dream Festivals, which I thought was a lot of fun.
And this week we got a special guest on our Marvel recap, What's So Great About. Mm-hmm. So if you want to hear who it is, you gotta pay the piper. but look, and there's loads of fun stuff we're getting over there. It's where the good stuff goes down. And his Dream Fest, what we've done.
Don't listen to this shit.
Dream. No, you got to listen to this to get to that.
Oh, right, yeah.
This is, yeah. If you want to get them on the boat, they're going to come to the dock. And this is the dock, my friend.
Nice analogy.
Yeah, so we've done Dream Festival. We've done Dream Film Casting. We've done episodes on Andy picking a playlist of emo songs for me. I've picked some hair metal for him.
We got rap, we got... A whole load of stuff. We
movie,
got loads of
music,
movie reviews. Yeah, it's all there.
It's all got there, and it's stuff. All great. Now, if you can't afford the $5,
take your headphones out.
You got some attitude problems.
Get the hell out! No, sorry, come on.
If you can't afford the $5, well, look, you can do something else. You know the way I was saying I'm collecting digital, physical media.
Yes.
What I am also collecting is digital. 5-star reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to add to my collection.
He's an avid collector, to be honest.
Yeah, 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
So, you from County Limerick there. I need that 5-star review to add to my collection. You there, what rating is this?
At the risk of sounding unpopular, these two hosts put the blame squarely on you, the listener.
just give us the 5-star reviews, lads, okay?
And I'm going to bring it back on a positive note and thank those who have already done so. You are our actual friends, and we love you both, and we only like the rest of you.
You other freeloaders that are out there, like, you're stealing right now. You're taking money and food out of my child's mouth.
How do you sleep at night?
Yeah, just give me the 5 stars, please.
5 stars would be great, thanks.
It's getting harder every week to come up with stuff.
You better come up with some new 5-star shtick, Terry.
I know. Well, I'm trying.
Listen, it's late. Taking a bath. Folks.
Yeah, exactly.
We thank you very much for listening, but it is Sunday night and it is late. Mere hours before this podcast is being released.
God. Andy is, you know, he's up against it.
Yeah, so maybe a bit light on the edits, but at this stage you've already gone through the episode, so you know what it was.
Real good time.
So thank you very much, everyone. Right time. We will catch you next Monday.
Good night.
When there's nowhere else to run, is there room for one more sun? One more sun. If you can hold on, if you can hold on.
Soul, but I'm not a soldier. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier.